In a strike-heavy NXT, we had long-standing rivalries and folks who were meeting for the very first time. It's the NXT After Show for June 21st, 2017, and it starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
But
how can you dance to black metal music? Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NXT After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We got an interesting show for you today. We got a lot of people out, but a wonderful special guest host here today. So let's get right to the introductions. I'm one of your hosts, the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Repping the NXT team today, but joining us as a special guest member of the NXT team, Denise Salcedo.
Dang, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be on NXT After Show here today.
Yeah, it's you finally filled out the bingo card.
I am. I honestly need to. I should have printed one out, honestly, and put like all the little logos on there. That would have been
put it
cool.
On like a refrigerator.
I know, I should have.
And ruin these TVs.
Honestly, I really should have. I'm kind of sad that I didn't think of that before.
Just make it digital. Who cares? So, in case folks at home haven't seen you on the pay-per-view show, haven't seen you on the Raw After Show, haven't seen you on the SmackDown After Show, haven't seen you on the Lucha Underground After Show, haven't seen you on Xbox 1-360, tell us a little bit about yourself and your pedigree of wrestling fandom.
I've been everywhere now. I'm going to start annoying people. Anyways, but you guys can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at _ Denise Salcedo.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. Just as just to mention, Bill is out covering the Glow premiere for With Spandex. That is uprocks.com, withspandex.com. And Hobo is in Florida. He's actually working a show tonight. So if you're in the Florida area, you should go support him instead of watching this. He's doing a couple more live shows. Follow him at True Hobo. Follow Bill at Sundown Motel. And use hashtag NXTeam if you want to talk to us at all through the course of the show. Or be in the live chat because we follow the live chat. So overall thoughts on what you thought of this episode?
Honestly, I thought this episode of NXT was better than last week's, you know, I just thought that there was a little bit more going on to this week, and it was a lot easier to watch in terms of, like, having more on the show.
Yeah, they structured the show a little bit more solidly. It wasn't just squash, squash, squash. And to be honest, they gave a lot of these matches with folks that were a little bit more used to as enhancement talent. They gave them a fair amount of time, four matches that went pretty solid lengths for all of them, a couple of backstage segments. But let's start off with the top of the first match on the card, Peyton Royce versus the returning Ember Moon. Both of these women are skilled in the art of the kick, and this is all that you wanted and more from Ember Moon, who is on her way to the NXT Women's Championship.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Honestly, I thought this was a solid match. I thought both, you know, Peyton and Amber were on point here today. And I'm just so glad to see Ember Moon back. And I'm glad to see both of them, and especially Amber, being built up towards, you know, possibly being the one to possibly take off the belt off of Asuka. So, you know, we never know. I love Ember Moon. I think she's doing great. And it's so good to see her back.
Do you think that... So she has a couple of moves or a couple of special moves in her repertoire that she busts out when she's feeling a little flashy. Do you think that Ember was a little overzealous in going for the front roll clothesline right when she was starting to come back and get a little bit of energy back?
Maybe not. I think, like, she probably just needed the hype. Like, hey, like, I'm back, guys. Like, don't forget that I'm here. And so, honestly, I think whatever she chose, like, everything she chose to do in her match today was kind of just to make a point, like, hey, I'm black. I'm back here.
Well, and both.
I didn't mean it like that.
That's fine.
You know, I'm back, and, you know, don't forget that I am here. So, honestly, and then, of course, the eclipse, the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Every time that happens, I'm just like, why? How could you do that? That's amazing. I can't even do nothing.
If Jeff Hardy didn't already steal the name, Poetry in Motion would be another good name for that one, because it's just art.
Yeah.
It's art.
It is.
Now, Peyton was trying to go strike for strike with Ember, who was somebody with a little bit of a lower center of gravity. It's a little bit more difficult. Ember, she is a pure athlete, whereas Peyton is going a little bit more for the icon sort of look. So she started using unique offense. We saw Widow's Peak, which we haven't seen in quite some time. And Billy, so the thing about Billy and Peyton, as I'm pretty sure you're well aware, they're inseparable. If Billy has a match, Peyton is out there. And as noticed here, if Peyton has a match, Billy is out there. So Billy got got excuse me, Billy interfered, causing an early distraction for Ember to miss, or not even to get off, an attempt at the eclipse. And then when Ember dove on her, knocked her out of the equation, Peyton then seemed distracted. Her other half was down for the count. And it ended up becoming a little bit more of a detriment than an advantage. What do you think is the sweet spot of somebody that is out here, or somebody that is accompanying a friend or a husband to like a Maurice or a Paul Heyman or whatever? What do you think is enough? And what do you think is maybe a little bit too much? See, and was this a good example of it?
Honestly, for me, I feel like we haven't really seen anything like Peyton and Billy together. Because usually, you know, like when we had Charlotte and Dana on Raw, it was more like, you know, she was up, she was higher above her than her. But it seems like Peyton and Billy are more kind of on the same page. And then 2 weeks prior when they had that backstage segment where they were like talking God knows what that I didn't even understand, I like them together, and I think they complement each other very well. As for it being too much, I kind of feel like because Ember Moon was like, oh, I'm this, like, tough person, it doesn't really matter that, you know, your little sidekick or whatever you want to call Billy is out here to help you out or just try to distract me. It doesn't really matter because I'm here and I'm back and I'm hyped. And I really love Peyton. I think she's really good and really, you know, hung in there with Ember.
Yeah, it seems to vary when Peyton is in Billy's corner, she's a little bit more vocal, whereas Billy is a little bit more physical. PW Gregory in chat says, are they each other's Horcrux? Not a bad way to see it. They care about each other a little bit too much. Maybe not. And in terms of not seeing people like them before, I'd say early day BFFs of Sasha and Charlotte. Maybe even further back, Michelle McCool and it's killing. Huh?
No, wait. I was like, Layla? Wait, what are we thinking here?
Yeah, no, yes, Layla. Yeah, Layla. Yeah, so that, like, I would say they were inseparable. That's true, to the point where they shared the Divas Championship. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. I like that a lot. Ember ends up winning with the Eclipse, making her look good, depending on how in next week's Asuka versus Nikki Cross and the Last Woman Standing match goes. We'll see what her trajectory into NXT TakeOver Brooklyn is. During this match, though, this is something that I wanted to bring up last week, but we didn't for various reasons. But during this match, we got a commercial for John Cena returning July 4th. 4th of July, American hero, amazing. Advertises a free agent now.
And he looks like G.I. Joe.
Yeah, and I'm
so
surprised.
So that helps.
And I'm surprised he hasn't been in a G.I. Joe movie either, but he's way too busy doing American Grit and things of that nature. Watch the American Grit after show on AfterBuzz TV. But something that I wanted to put to you, they've been pretty clear that he's a free agent between Raw and SmackDown, but if you could see him in any sort of a role on NXT, what kind of a role would you want to see him in?
Wow, that's a good one. Honestly, wow. I never really thought about it that way. You know, I mostly just always thought about him in, you know, Raw and SmackDown. But a role in NXT would be really cool because it's new and it's John Cena. So you're like, oh, here he is on NXT, kind of like making everybody else in the roster kind of a little nervous. Like, we got to, you know, make sure that we're doing our part and doing it up to par. I think it would be good just to have everybody kind of push it up to the next level, because that's what, you know, being John Cena brings, is a little bit of intimidation.
Agreed. And we did used to have with NXT before it became this enigma of just a full force tidal wave of fresh talent coming in maybe once every 2 months. There used to be once every 2 months a WWE superstar would come down and work with the guys. I mean, Tyson Kidd turned it into a career, and he had some of the most amazing matches of his career down there. Titus O'Neil had an amazing match with Sami Zayn back in the day. I'm only remembering him as Tyrus. The Funkasaurus. Regardless, either way, all of the folks that come down to NXT give an opportunity for those guys that they may not ever get, and with how John Cena's career is working, coming down and working one set of tapings for 5 weeks worth of stuff and working somebody maybe once a week. Like, John Cena versus Aleister Black would be or versus anybody. Roderick Strong versus one of the Authors of Pain versus, oh God, versus Velveteen Dream.
Ooh, that would be interesting. That would be hot. John would just be like, whoa, what's going on here?
And Ron Corleone points out Cesaro. Yes, very much Cesaro in NXT, one of some of the best. Cesaro, Punk, Sheamus. Cena has had a little bit. He was in Brodus Clay. Thank you, everybody. He did have a couple of like behind the scenes moments and where he was there and present. Yeah, but to have him in a physical role, especially right now during this role, during this crop of NXT guys, a couple of them need a kick. And having an opportunity to take the stage with John Cena, even if it's just an hour of John Cena fighting people.
Yeah.
I want it.
I want it too now. Can we like vote on this or something? No.
I mean, if use hashtag NXT, tweet at WWE, tweet at NXT that you want free agent John Cena to be like, yo, NXT. Or to be like a fighting general manager. Not to say that I don't want William Regal to go away because he's the best.
Especially since we've seen John Cena, like, you know, throughout his career in WWE do so much, so many different stuff that this would definitely be new. And it's a little bit unexpected because people are like, oh, John Cena's going to say, doing some stuff there. All right, that's cool, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that it'd be a nice arsenal to his long list of stuff that he has already done in the company.
Yeah, and it would help out the business in a completely different way as well. I want to see him in those yellow ropes, y'all. All right, after this, we get a Tommy in the back with Cassius apologizing for everything that he's done. He admits that he's not reaching the level of success that he has had that he had previously in Japan. But to which Cassius responds, we've got plenty left to give, and we've got to do it the right way. Beautiful moment between friends. You know who else can be friends? Brothers, twins even. The Ely brothers take on Eric Young and Alexander Wolfe. Now, the Ely brothers are great. The last time we saw them in action, they had a little bit. They were doing like this weird druid look. It was very bizarre, but they got attacked before they even got into the ring and subsequently killed by the Authors of Pain. So seeing them back to life, fantastic. This was kind of cut and dry, but what did you think about it?
You know what? It wasn't bad. I enjoyed myself, and I honestly really just enjoy Eric Young, to tell you the truth. I've loved him since back, and you know, when he was at Impact, and et cetera, et cetera. I just really love who he is and what he's doing right now with Sanity, and also, you know, Alexander Wolf and everybody putting their part in. He's just so great at being like crazy, psycho, savage, whatever you want to call it. So I think whenever that they're in there, it's awesome. And, you know, we're building up more tag teams, which is what we need. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously in the entire company, I would say we need to build up these teams to have more options, especially once they start going up to the main roster.
Mm-hmm. And with the current state of the tag team championships being Monsters and Authors of Pain and Monsters with Heavy Machinery, it may have to take a multi-team match in order to get the belt off of whoever ends up with the belt before getting called up. And the Ely brothers, they're putting in their time, and I'm excited to see that they're getting more and more time before subsequently dying. But I agree with you on Eric Young. We got him in the corner going, that's what you get! Like, spooky. I don't want it. It's gross. It's disgusting.
Which means that it's working.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We got a version of his finisher, the flipping neck breaker, to just a back suplex neck breaker. Sanity gets the win. They stand tall in the ring. Ely brothers dead again. Rip in peace. We'll see you on Up, Up, Down, Down. I hope to see you again soon. We got a replay of the Sonya Deville package that we got last week because she's going to be in action next. And her unfortunate victim, Rachel Evers, who we've seen a couple of times in NXT. Now, they pointed out at the beginning of the match that you need to outfight a wrestler and out-wrestle a fighter. And Rachel Evers really tried to out-wrestle her. We saw a couple of suplexes, a couple of throws. She couldn't stand toe-to-toe with the striking game. How was this one for you?
Honestly, this was a nice match to showcase Sonya. Mm-hmm. So I think this was exactly what she needed right now, especially. And, you know, like, right now the women's division is, you know, it's Asuka's, all right? It's hers. So, you know, we're working more women, not just, like, Amber Moon, but also Sonya to potentially get up there and start, you know, being an actual competitor. It's kind of like, you know, we were talking earlier with the tag team division, like, oh, we need more tag teams. We need to build more tag teams to start being, like, a competition. Mm-hmm. It's same, obviously, with the women's division. And I think that that's why I was glad to see Sonya today and kind of, you know, pretty much wipe out Rachel.
Yeah, one of my favorite things was when he's like, "Oh, you messed up!" Took off her gloves and just started beating the hell out of her. Happy that she has a submission finish more than just a striking finish, because she had like a running Yakuza or a running knee the last time we saw her. That might have just been live, but who knows if she was testing it or not. Either way, finishes her with a double wrist lock. Rachel Evers taps out, and the fact that it's taken a year to get NXT has had its standout women here, there, everywhere. But with Asuka being undefeated for over a year, you've got to set up a line of people that are worthy to take that crown.
Exactly.
And Nikki, I think, has an opportunity. Everybody in chat, especially our good friend Marie, is talking about how it's going to be Ember and... I mean, it looks like it's going to be this anyway, but Ember and Asuka at TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Excuse me. And whether... Ember is the one to take the belt off of Asuka is yet to be seen, but it's got to be, there's a certain type of attacker that just has to catch catch Asuka off balance. And I think Sonya having such a strong striking game and a strong punch game to match up to Asuka's strong kick game, it's got a little bit of a farther reach. It brings a little bit of a big fight element to it. I want to see that match before Asuka leaves NXT.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, the crowd is so behind Asuka in terms of they respect her. You know, obviously she's shown what she can do, and she can do a lot. And so I think that that's also that whoever is that person, whether or not it's Ember, they do need that, like, that respect from the crowd. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, they just keep doing it and keep building up to it. They will get it so that if whoever does take off the bout off Asuka, the crowd would really, like, actually enjoy it and, you know, take it in and be like, oh, man, you know, like, that's it.
Yeah, because the last match that we had with Ember Moon and Asuka was really solid, and it could have gone either way. I was beyond surprised that Asuka ended up leaving with the win. But we, as a result, we ended up getting her matches with Ruby Riott and Nikki Cross, and now another even crazier match with Nikki Cross, which doesn't fit necessarily into the Ember Moon ethos. Mm-hmm. But with Nikki Cross, if you got something shiny that she wants, she's going to say your name creepily and low enough until she gets a title match. Ember, Ember, I want to play. Like, yeah. Terrifying, frightening. Ember versus no one is ready for Asuka. Yeah, maybe.
And they did announce that she will be facing next week, that she will be facing Nikki Cross next week as well. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, the last women's standing match. Actually, because we talked about it during the airing, I wanted to bring it up. And it's not just because she is AfterBuzz TV alumni, but I think if you could build... I think the women's turn event, the Mae Young Classic coming up, is going to be a way for many, many female wrestlers, whether they're currently with the WWE or not, or just signed, or just as featured players in the WWE. I think Sonya Deville is one of those people that will be able to take full advantage of this varied talent and go, hey, I may not have been in wrestling for very long, but I'm going to show you why I'm a fighter. A three-in-one record in MMA is still damn impressive, and very impressive. Please don't punch me, Sonya, because I'm going to see you again soon. But I think in reference to this, if somebody could really use the women's tournament to further themselves, I want to see Sonya Deville make it at least to the semis.
Yeah, honestly, I cannot disagree with you more. If they want to give her that push and
disagree
that push,
with
that
me?
No, I said I couldn't agree with you more.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Like, what?
You're like, I'm gonna punch you out now. No, I honestly couldn't agree with you more. If they want to push her, you know, to the moon and make her, you know, a top contender, this would be a great opportunity to showcase her and make her like, you know, like, oh, like worthy, like, you know, she made it to the top and beat out all these other women, you know.
Yeah. And something about this match as well that was just very bizarre, that pointed out something for the entire night. The crowd was really quiet.
Yeah. I remember I was looking down one time during my notes, and this is later down during the main event, and I looked at you and I was like, wait, did we lose sound? Like, what's happening here? And I was like, oh, it was the crowd. It was a little bit dead. I thought we hit a mute button.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate if when stuff like this, it depends. You can never tell if, at least from home, if people are just paying attention and really want to focus and watch the match, because when I watch wrestling live, only sometimes do I do chants and claps and all that stuff because I just want to see what's going on. But yeah, for this, it doesn't. I hope that it was more of the crowd being tired from a long taping than not being interested in this match. I've seen Sonya have hell of a lot of great competition at live shows, and that's just got to carry over. But some of that talent isn't featured too much on TV yet. I don't know if they're like repackaging them or if they're just working the live circuit until we have like a Mandy Rose coming back, or Bianca Belair, who, oh my God, she was awesome at doing this last NXT tour. But let's go to chat really quick. Courteous here, Sephoris. Asuka versus Sonya could be a women version of Ishii versus Shibata. Nice call. I'm sure we will have people from the Mae Young Classic appear on NXT afterwards, like they did for the Cruiserweight Classic. Mm-hmm. It'll be nice for the women already in NXT to mix it up a little. That's from Pre-W Gregory. Agreed. And the amount and the fact that they've signed so many women already and they're just not putting them on TV until the Mae Young Classic shows that they're going to go in a similar direction. And hopefully that means we get a women's wrestling show like we have 205 Live and a UK show that's good, that they've been talking about forever.
That would be incredible, mm-hmm. Honestly.
It's something that I've been hoping for, what, 4 years at this point? Ever since Total Divas storyline started coming into coming on TV, that's when it's like, no, you make Total Divas a full thing where it has the backstage stuff and then it spills out into the ring and it's all live and it's all happening right
and
there.
And I love the backstage stuff. Mm-hmm. I love just like the whole aspect of like even just like the developmental portion of them like still being used to like the new girls that they have bringing into mm-hmm. for the tournament. It can be like, oh, like seeing their girls, kind of like what they do with Breaking Ground, but mm-hmm. like in a little bit more of a reality sense. It would be really cool to see that. That way, you know, the audience can like get behind these women, and that way if they do branch off and make a separate show for them, it could be like, oh, well, you know, I saw you do this and this and that, and like I'm behind you now.
That's one of the issues though that I had with the Cruiserweight Classic, is because the Cruiserweight Classic did that. They had like maybe 45 seconds to a minute long pieces on every person that they would show before their match, and so you would get a version of their story, like with Cedric proving everybody wrong and Rich Swann coming from losing both of his parents and wrestling was the thing that saved him, and like you would get these stories, and then now that they're a part of the WWE product, it's, oh, it's the dancing Rich Swann, like, you know, the stories take you so far in a tournament, but WWE needs to bridge the gap a little bit more and make it that story, not necessarily like a Glow level, like original Glow, not the Netflix series, but something. I like that though, like a mix of stuff,
like a nice balance where, like, you know, they're relatable, you know their background and you respect them as an athlete kind mm-hmm. of deal. But if they're, you know, they come on, like, for example, I don't know, somebody's family member was murdered, then they come out and all of a sudden they're a murder character like that.
Okay, maybe
I'm going far-fetched here, but yeah, you get what I'm saying,
that's
though.
That's like, Glow territory. Much.
Yeah.
That's Glow territory.
But it's something along the lines where you want to make it just a little bit known so that people can, like, for the people that we don't know that they're going to bring in for mm-hmm. the tournament, it could be cool in sense of that.
I mean, you kind of already have a murderer with Nikki Cross and Asuka. Asuka kills people. Rip Deonna Purrazzo.
Murder was just the most outrageous thing I can think of.
Good, that's good. Good that murder is the most outrageous thing. All right, so let's move on from here. But if we want to hear from you, leave comments down below on iTunes, all that stuff. We want to hear your opinion on Twitter. Instead of tweeting at both of us, use the hashtag NXTeam, or and tweet at one or both of us. Yeah, tweet at us. We need to make those numbers go up. Damn it. Anyway, after this, this was ridiculous. So we're interested in Roderick Strong's ascent into the title picture and being super compelling as any character in NXT, excuse me, can be. But this went from like 4 to 20 super quick. Bobby is taking pictures in the back of Full Sail with his belt. And we see the Strong family, the stroller and everything, Marina and Roddy with their baby in the stroller. Nice looking son. If you pump out another one, you might need that double wide sooner than later, which was like, okay, all right, you know what? I'm going to let that slide. That's all right. Goose for ba. No. Hey, Marina, let me know if you ever want to get with a real man. That's it! And they fight, and luckily the entire NXT roster was right around the corner for a pull apart. They fight a little bit, pull them apart. You want to fight me? Or you want me? You want me? It was really romantic. You want a title match anytime, any place. So in 2 weeks, we're going to be getting an NXT Championship match between Bobby Roode and Roderick Strong.
Oh, I love this so much. And I'm and, well, not only the part that it was hilarious. And I was thinking where you brought up like, oh, the whole roster just ended up being like round the corner. Maybe they were all doing a photo shoot. We don't know. Anyways, but besides
it was a line. It was like school photos.
Yeah, there you go. And like everybody school was photo line. Kind of line. Like, oh, I'm next. Are you going to smile? You're not going to smile. Okay. Tangent. Anyways, but okay, I love these two guys, all right? And I've loved them since pre-WWE days, and I think they're both so incredible. And what I love particularly about this is that we have on one end, we had Roderick Strong, who's, you know, building up to be a baby face. He's got the whole dad family character. You can't help but to love that.
He literally has a baby face.
Exactly. That's you. And then you have Bobby Roode, who is such an ass, you know? And we love that. You know, he's glorious, whatever. The point is that these two guys going against each other and having this, like, feud together, I think is perfect, a perfect definition of good guy, bad guy, etc. I love this. As much as I love Roderick Strong, I don't want to see him win the title yet in the 2 weeks that they go against each other, because I do want to see him chase the belt a little bit more. You know, Bobby Roode is, you know, this guy right now that nobody else on the roster is like him, where he is like not only just a great character, but also is there to teach the guys, like a lot of the younger guys, a lot of like fundamentals and stuff like that. So having him as a champion, I would like to see him be champion a lot longer, make Roderick Strong go through like all these hurdles and stuff, that way when eventually after a good decent amount of time we do get to see Roderick Strong, or you know, take the bout, and then it'll be like, oh my god, he did it, he finally beat, you know, etc. So I'm looking forward to this, though. I will tell you that I'm looking forward to their long journey.
So what do you see this going all the way to Brooklyn 3, or is it going to be an immediate return match like a couple weeks later?
I would rather see it go a little longer than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Farther than Brooklyn 3?
No. I don't know. I just want to see it go a little while. Pretty long, but not too long. Is that...
So, I mean, what I'm getting from it is you want it, the story to build so that we can really get
I really want everybody to get behind Roderick Strong, because we have something going with him right now. So, like... And then it also elevates, you know, Bobby Roode's like, you know, I'm like this bad person, you know?
He's just a bad person.
Yeah. But you can, I mean, I can't help but to love him, but I like the bad guys, so.
That's the issue, is once you start having people make fun of children and families and this and that, it's got to start. You got to start booing people to boo him, but once his music starts, everybody in that arena is going to be singing along.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've had fans talk about how they want Drew McIntyre to get into the title picture. Right now, he seems like he's sort of just sauntering as slowly as he can, and he'll get there when he gets there, even though he's eyeing for the championship. After this, we don't know what the title picture really looks like, as we have people who say, I'm going to challenge for it. But similarly to Roman Reigns coming out on Monday and saying, I'm the number one contender, he's like, well, where is that from?
That comes out of nowhere.
We had a number one contendership match where Hideo Itami won and became the number one contender. Technically, I guess that would follow that Roderick, after that, because he was even in that match, was the second contender, and now he's in that now. But after this match, no matter who wins, there needs... Well, if Roderick wins, then Bobby Roode's going to enact his rematch clause, and that'll be that. But if Bobby Roode wins, then there needs to be a clear... Hey, somebody is going to become the number one contender for NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. And I think you could still get Roderick involved in that. Because I don't know, like him fighting for his family, you can take that anywhere.
True.
You know, he's the nice version of Kevin Owens who fights for his family. But yeah, I don't, I don't know. Like I've been surprised by Roderick Strong before, and I hope to be continuously surprised. I hope that this match lives up to expectation. But because, you know, we're going to be talking about it 2 weeks from today. Am I going to be here? Yeah, I'm going to be here. In 2 weeks from today. So we're going to be getting that. Let's talk about our main event, which was just a kicking contest. These boys. I like how there was a clear difference. Like before this match, they were building it up as a striking game, but Cassius Ohno has size and strength on Aleister Black, and showed it in the very beginning. Aleister hopping up on him, trying to get him seemingly for a suplex. We don't know because it didn't get too far, he was on the ground, and Ohno just got up. like not even holding on to him, not even like struggling to get up, just stood up and walked him over to the corner and put him down like a child. Nuts. And these guys have fought before. And with their background, you're familiar with their backgrounds. What did you expect from this match?
Obviously, hard-hitting action, the kicks. We all knew that was going to happen, you know, especially because Cassius Ohnos has been doing, you know, his hard-hitting matches. And then we have, you know, Aleister Black that has this incredible, you know, background as a kickboxer. And I mentioned this to you earlier that he is a kickboxer that learned how to wrestle, not a wrestler who learned how to do kickboxing, which means that no matter what, his stuff is going to be next level, all right? Yeah. And that's the awesome thing about Aleister. And I have so much respect for Cassius Ohno. Like, I love him because I've seen him since, again, pre-WWE, so I love him. But I can't help but to be so excited for the future of Aleister. Mm-hmm. And I think he has the perfect look. He has everything going for him right now that I can't wait to see where this is going, which is why I'm glad that he won tonight, because he needed this win to kind of, you know, bring him up to this next level.
Yeah.
So I liked it. I did expect it to be a little bit more, but I was like, okay, well, it's, you know, just that if he had been a takeover, then okay, then it'd be like, you know, something else. But either way, great guys.
Yeah, this pace was a lot slower than I was expecting, but every hit felt like it was like a Dragon Ball Z fight where every single fight was like, like a mountain was destroyed behind them. It was very interesting, and I agree with you totally on Aleister. With Cassius, still feels like he still feels like the Cassius that was here before he got let go. He still feels like that era of NXT. The presentation, the look. He's got the ability. If he didn't have the ability, he wouldn't be at NXT. But similarly to how more recently. We've been getting a little bit more from Roderick Strong from a character perspective, you know, not just being a nice guy, or is he? Cassius needs to put in that little bit of extra something, because right now people are just stoked that it's him and he's going to elbow somebody in the face. But Aleister is a guy that the WWE has put so much stock into. The fact that he had a chance to fight in the WWE as Tommy End before being repackaged as Aleister Black, and then even going on tour and being on main roster shows as Aleister Black in Europe, shows how much they are looking to this guy as their future. And to the point where I don't think his mindset and this version of his character, this Aleister Black version of his character, doesn't need gold, doesn't need accomplishment. He's in there for a reason, and we're going to keep watching until we figure out what that reason is, until he figures out what that reason is. So, wins like this, they mean a lot. Xeno Hour always bet on Black. Funny, but it seems like he could show up this Monday on Raw and kick Braun Strowman in the face and just be sitting in the middle of the ring. And everybody be like, I don't know who this is, but I love him. Like, he's that new enigma, sort of like early Undertaker, doesn't talk, comes in, does his business, you know it's the end, and he's out.
Yeah, and he has the whole package, you know, everything from his presence to his entrance, from everything that he has, it's unique, it's impressive, and I think once he does get up to the main roster, you know, officially, people are definitely going to like him. I can't help but not like him, you get me? Like, I have to like him because he just has it.
Yes.
He just has it all. And, you know, when it comes to Cassius Ohno, like, he does need something extra. Like, even though he's having these amazing hard-hitting matches, he does need that little extra for the crowd to be like, oh, you know, I like this guy. But it makes you wonder, is he who he is, and is that all we're going to get from him? Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting that you say that. There was a .com exclusive clip that I watched just before we went live where it's Cassius Ohno coming back after losing to the Black Mass from Aleister Black. Itami is there, hands Ohno his wrist guard and says, hey man, dust it off. You'll get another chance. And Cassius just sort of like mumbles, grumbles to himself and walks away disappointed, leaving Itami going, yeah, it doesn't feel so good, does it? And that makes me go, oh, are we going to see even, I would say even more than Ohno staying the good guy and being like, you know what, Hideo, you just cool down and be a nice guy. We're here for the right reasons. Instead, after seeing that promo, I want to see Ono go, you know what? You're right. Let's burn this place to the ground. And we have a new tag team. We have a Tommy and Ono just leveling fools. And it would, I think it would make sense to me because Tommy hasn't found any sort of success in the singles division. And he got injured after the first round of the Dusty Classic. So give this man a tag team and you could make something for both of them to build.
Yeah, do it. I feel like right now, recently, we've been seeing a lot of success with some random, like random pairings, tag teams. We've been seeing a lot of success in that. And I think that, you know, that's a great idea. If you put them together, they both have something they want to prove themselves, you know, more to be worthy of, like, the main, eventually getting to the main roster, which is everyone's goal in NXT, obviously. So why not, you know, do it.
I didn't come prepared with that. I just realized, like, oh, that would be super fucking weird. And we're talking about how they need tag teams. This could be NXT's version. We haven't had a put-together tag team in NXT in a while. You might count the Lucha Dragons as a put-together tag team, but I wouldn't. I consider them a unit. But I think since, like, Oliver Gray and Neville. Yeah. That's probably the last. Well, I don't, even then, I don't know. No, Corey Graves and Neville was probably the last put together NXT tag team championship team. If I'm wrong, correct me, because whatever, I don't care. But yeah, this could be their version of Sheamus and Cesaro. This could be their version of Rhino and Heath Slater. But I'm about. Oh, stop it, Marie. Marie is saying that 2017 is the year of breaking up tag teams. Nah. Come on, stop it.
I don't want to be reminded of the heartbreak of Enzo and Cass.
Ugh. Oh, speaking of that moment, how are you doing?
Oh, terrible, because I love Enzo so much. Yeah. I just don't want to see him become nothing, you know?
And I agree. My favorite thing from that is there was a toy manufacturer that was like, don't forget to pick up our Enzo and Cass 2-pack coming this August. It was like, ah, that sucks.
It'll work on that
time frame.
Too late, man.
Even more so, talking about this main event, Cassius did one of the only things that really made me go, what? From Cassius from this match is he did a release vertical suplex, which reminded me of the X-plex, which is something that the United Kingdom champion Pete Dunne does. You shouldn't make me think about another guy. Let me finish. You shouldn't make me think about another guy while you're performing. Okay, that still didn't turn out all right. But you shouldn't make me go, oh, I want to watch a Pete Dunne match now. You should make me go, I want to see Cassius win. So it was really weird, especially at the very end before he pulled out the elbow and then the black mask got the win. That was a very weird choice for me. And I don't know, is that something that he used to do?
Honestly, for me, like, I'm trying to think back to my book here or my brain. But the point is, I feel like I trust and respect so much of whatever he does in the ring. So to me, whatever he does is gold. In terms of his wrestling skills and ability and all of that stuff. For me, it's gold. It's untouchable.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the show. It was it was an improvement. It was very interesting to see that we did get some sort of development from various individual performers and divisions. Sanity coming out strong. And taking on the Ely brothers, even though they're people that the Authors of Pain have already previously killed, it's nice to have them show the tag team division that they're here for dominance, they're here for gold, and who knows when Sanity will be involved in the title picture. But before we go, one tiny bit of AfterBuzz TV news.
AfterBuzz TV news.
Exactly like that. So they announced this week that they're going to be coming to the West again. Now, they used to do this not so frequently, but they were only here like 2 months ago. It wasn't that long ago when they were here. So, unfortunately, their LA show is happening on a Wednesday. Why would they do that? They know we have a show. Maybe we can do it. Maybe we could do it on satellite, or we'll figure it out. Wait, what is that week? Dun, 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 dun. Oh no, that's August. Never mind. Okay, so yeah, August 9th, they're going to be in LA. They're going to be August 10th. They're going to be in Bakersfield, San Jose, August 11th, and Sacramento on the 12th. So that is a Wednesday through Saturday run. Really bizarre.
Yeah.
That's a really bizarre tour, especially to compromise a strong LA audience. Well, they'd miss the show. So we're going to figure out a way to go cover that show. That may mean that this after show doesn't air on Wednesday. It may mean that we put it on Thursday just so that we can go to the show. But regardless, if you're in the if you're on the West Coast, make it out to those shows, whether they record them or not. It is always a good time when NXT put on a show. Like, the last time we went to an NXT show, it was Ty Dillinger's last NXT show. And that's like, oh, we didn't know that until we got, or until we were traveling down there. It was an awesome surprise. Let me bring one other thing up. They announced the first competitors for the Mae Young Classic, and our fans will probably be mad if we didn't talk about it. So we've got Toni Storm, Lacey Evans, Sarah Logan, and I don't know how to pronounce it. It's spelled Sugehit. Sugehit. If somebody could pronounce a pronunciation, but Princessa Sugehit. I'm so sorry. Are the first four competitors to be announced in the Mae Young Classic. We're super high on Lacey Evans here. She hasn't competed too many times on TV, but awesome. Awesome competitor and will be the future of the division without a doubt. Sarah Logan, who we saw recently fight, I think maybe 2 weeks ago. But you may know her as Crazy Mary Dobson, but Sarah Logan is going to be her gimmick here. And Princessa Sugehit is a legend in CMLL and AAA. Because I had to say it like that because you were here.
I'm glad I influenced you.
And Toni Storm is the current Progress Women's Champion. So announcing two folks that are relatively new on the NXT scene versus people that are legends and champions is only a fraction of what we're going to be getting from this tournament.
I love
it. Looking forward to it.
Just hearing the names, you're starting to visualize it. Like, ooh, this sounds cool.
And what's the bracket going to be like? Who's going to be here? Yeah. Who's going to be there? This is presented by Rocket League 2. Crazy. Oh, that's right. I did hear that. That's it for the news. Thank you very much. let us know who you want that hasn't been announced in the Mae Young Classic. Let us know that down below, or let us know on Twitter. And do you want to see Kesha Sono and Hideo Itami as a tag team? Who knows? What did you think of this episode? Leave it in the comments down below. But that will do it for this week's episode. Thank you so much, Denise, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys. Oh, having me and everybody here. Anyways, you guys can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, @_ Denise Salcedo.
That, I was expecting a lot more.
Oh, really?
Because when the guys are here, they're like, go on this thing and do this and find this and do that. So I'll take time.
I should come up with something more special than Twitter and Instagram.
Well, no, here's something else. You did another show today.
I did. I did the X-Pac podcast, and it was awesome. We had Chael Sonnen on, which was really great. He's walking the streets of New York and talking to us on the phone. Super relatable, fun guy. Great interview.
Really nice guy. And he talked about Mayweather versus McGregor and how important that is for the sport of boxing as a whole, which is a wonderful point of view that I never really thought of until he brought it up. He talked about his fight this weekend with Wanderlei Silva, and also talked about his days where he was learning to become a pro wrestler. It's a lot in a short amount of time. It's a great interview. He's a great guy. We also had Bill Hanstock on the show this morning before he unceremoniously left us alone. But go on Xbox 12360. It's an expedient show this week. Spend your time. Why? I'm always so burpy and I'm just drinking water. I'm so sorry. Goodness.
I can't even hear you burping.
Perfect.
I would have never known had you not said anything.
Well, that's my fault. Okay, I'm going to be a coffee fan. I did an episode of Millennial Falcon on Screen Junkies News this past week. Go watch it. It was very awkward and very fun. I did an episode of the Knapsack Files today. Go check out the Knapsack Files if you want to know a little bit more about me and my life and career. It was a very fun talking with friend of the show, Ken Knapsack. And this coming week, I'm going to be doing an episode of Force Center, which is another Star Wars podcast where we talk about the top five things Disneyland needs to get right with Star Wars Land. Also, nxteam.spreadshirt.com. We put up new shirts. I lowered the prices of some of them, so it's $20 for every shirt. And I think right now you can get an extra 15% off. It helps us out immensely. I mean it. it. Thanks for all of the people that have been purchasing stuff. It really does help us out and helps us support and keep the show going. And come up with more dumb ideas for shirts. Bill even won one today on Xbox 1-360. So that's nxteam.spreadshirt.com. Use the hashtag nxteam. Go on iTunes, leave us a review. Leave us a comment down below. A rating, subscribe, like us. Please like us. But for all of us here, follow us at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you for watching this episode of the NXT After Show. We will see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.